Well, today's very special. We're starting a new series of sermons. And as I do that, I want to just remind you all that there at times within the church can be this heartfelt cry that can be given out by people who either belong to the church or people who are coming to church for the first time. You've probably heard it. You may have felt it. You may have cried it out yourself. That cry is, I don't belong. Ever felt that way going into a church? Or have you sensed that people feel that way within the church here? A feeling that they feel like they're on the outer, that they don't belong. There are all sorts of reasons, of course, why when people come to a church, they feel that they don't belong. It can be a visitor going to a church and looking for some fellowship, of course worship, but being ignored by everybody. I remember a time when I was a truck driver and I went from Sydney down to Albury on the Victorian coast, or border rather, and I was looking for a place of worship. I found a place of worship for the Sunday. It was an overnight sort of thing. I didn't want to travel on Sunday, and the boss allowed me to stay over and come back Monday. And I went to that church in the morning, and I was hoping not only to have a time of worship, but instead of having to go back to the motel room and try and occupy my time by myself, to be invited somewhere for coffee at least, and maybe lunch. No one talked to me, and I got no invites. Went back pretty lonely to the motel room and spent a pretty lonely afternoon. That can make people feel as though they don't belong when they go to worship. Also, if you don't belong to one of the major families of the church, that can make you feel that you don't belong. If a church is a fairly older church and you've got a lot of family clans, that can be pretty hard because they're so keen to catch up with one another after church as family, they forget those who don't belong to the family clans. And they become the ones on the outer, and they don't get any invites. Also, changes in the church can make people feel they don't belong. I was just preaching on this last Sunday in Wongan Hills and in Perth, and it's on a DVD that you might catch up with one day. It's a backstop for Ainsley. When a church goes through changes, you've all heard of the music wars or the worship wars. Older people in the church can say, well, I feel I don't belong to this church anymore. It's not the church I grew up in. It's not the church I helped build. It's not the church where my kids were baptized and wedded and all that sort of thing. So just changes in the church can make it feel as though we don't belong anymore. Also, we can be made to feel inadequate. We feel as though, well, I don't have anything to contribute to the life of the church. I don't have any special qualities or gifts. I'm not a person that has anything that can be of use to the church. And of course, that can be made worse, that feeling of not belonging, for that reason, when people who have particular gifts make us feel as though we're inferior because they've got the gifts and we don't. Or they think they have a gift that's better than ours, and they let us know quite quickly that they are of more use to the church than we are. So we're going to be taking a look at this series of sermons. A lot of people, when they take a look at 1 Corinthians 14, which speaks about the speaking in tongues, they feel that this is where you deal with spiritual gifts in the church. But the interesting thing is, Paul doesn't deal with spiritual gifts in one chapter. And when he takes up the spiritual gift that was a problem in the Corinthian church, he doesn't deal with it in a vacuum. He deals with it in three chapters, and it doesn't start with chapter 14. It starts with chapter 12. And so we're going to have a look at what it means to be a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, hence our object lesson with the children this morning. What does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ? How do we become members of the body of Christ? What should that mean in terms of the sense of belonging? So our first sermon, which we're going to have today, is entitled A Spirit-Made Member of the Body of Christ, which takes us up to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. And then the second sermon, which we hope to have in 2 weeks' time, is entitled An Essential Part of Christ's Body as a Spirit-Made Member. So this first sermon we're having today is about how we become members and how that should affect our sense of belonging. The next one is, are any members non-essential? Or is everyone an essential member of the body? And how should that affect us? The third one is that wonderful chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. And believe it or not, that chapter, written in its context, has nothing to do with marriage. It can be applied to marriage, but in its context has nothing to do with marriage. It's all about living out the gospel in the use of spiritual gifts. How do I use my spiritual gift in a way that praises God and honors my fellow members? So it's all about love. Yes, love, but in the use of spiritual gifts. And then the fourth sermon, the final one, we get to speaking in tongues. And the title of that one is Living Out the Gospel in the Exercise of Spiritual Gifts. Living out the gospel in the exercise of spiritual gifts. So it's a very important series. The reason why we're dealing with it at this time is because we've just finished that series on the essential pillars of the gospel, worked out where we stand on the non-essentials of the Christian faith. Remember, we're gearing up towards the introductory series on Jesus, where we want to bring people from Dalwallinu who don't go to church into that series of sermons to introduce them to Christ. It's a whole outreach orientation that we're aiming at. But before we get there, there are some important things to look at. Church membership, belonging. You know, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it, if we didn't have that sorted out in our minds and people came in and we left them standing there on their own. Or because there are several big families in the church that they fell between the cracks and they felt they didn't belong because they didn't belong to one of the bigger families of the church. Okay? So we've got to figure out what church should be. How do we live out the gospel and how do we use the spiritual gifts? So we're going to be looking at all those different things in order that when we start inviting people to church, Lord willing, we are the type of congregation that will best include them in the body of Christ and best grow them in the body of Christ. So let's consider then this church at Corinth. If you know anything about 1 Corinthians and what it says about the church at Corinth, you'll realize that it was pretty much in an ordinary church. A church just like any other that you would find in the world today. It had its fair share of problems. In fact, it had a lot of problems. 1 Corinthians 15 takes up one subject after the other where the Corinthians were really busting themselves apart. There was a lot of infighting. And the issue of belonging was central to the problems in Corinth. The issue of belonging was central to their problems. If you weren't in the right group, then you didn't belong. And we see these divisions clearly when you take a look at 1 Corinthians 1, the verses 10 and 12. This is right at the beginning of the book, within the first 10 verses. It says, I appeal to you, brothers. Notice that. I appeal to you. This is strong language. I'm really calling out to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. And I've known that in my course of ministry that there are certain preachers that have gained a following. In the local area, you'll get, you know, a preacher gets a name and his services will be well attended. More and more people go to him. On the internet, it's become even bigger with Bill Hybels, Driscoll and all that sort of stuff. Okay. In Corinth, as this church was evolving and growing from its first steps, apparently different people came in bringing the gospel. And instead of focusing on what they were saying and of whom they were speaking, instead of the focus being Jesus and instead of the focus being the gospel, it became people. I prefer Cephas. I prefer Apollos. I prefer Paul. I prefer Jesus. and people began to divide according to whom they liked best to preach. And so the church became a pretty bitter place to come to, because it wasn't just these divisions that were taking place. People started to argue with one another, and people began to fracture the church on that level. This sense of belonging could also be felt at the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord's Supper was supposed to be a place where you came together and expressed not only what we have in Christ, but also the unity of the body. But in Corinth, it spoke of division rather than unity. Rather than the gospel, it was indeed people in for themselves. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 20 to 22. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? In those days, the Lord's Supper was a bring your own, you know, BYO. Here you had it all laid out for you. In those days, everyone brought something that was supposed to be shared with everybody else, both the bread and the wine. What was happening was those who had brought something were going ahead and eating and drinking the Lord's Supper, and those who were poor and had nothing and brought nothing were being left with nothing to eat or drink, and they weren't able to participate in the Lord's Supper. How do you think you would have felt if you were one of the poor? This is supposed to be a remembrance of the gospel, of the good news concerning Jesus Christ, and you're being left out of it because you had nothing to bring. That was the Corinthian church. A church that God was so displeased with, he was bringing sickness and death upon the members. It says that in 1 Corinthians. He brought sickness and death upon the congregation because of the way they were not living out the gospel. And so in particular, our interest is in these chapters 12 to 14, where again, belonging is a very important issue with regard to the use of spiritual gifts. As I said, I'm sure most people know about chapter 13. Some may also be acquainted with chapter 14 about speaking in tongues. Yet the foundation for Paul's teaching about tongues is chapter 12. He doesn't get onto those subjects until he's dealt with the foundational issue: who are we in Christ? What is it that we have become in him? And how does that affect our relationships with one another? Because that's going to determine how we use these gifts. And so, yes, it's spiritual gifts that are the focus now, not the Lord's Supper, not who you follow in the church. It's spiritual gifts that are the subject of the three chapters, but in the context of church membership. See what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, that it is spiritual gifts being taken up. It says there, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed." You would think he was going to jump straight into the content of chapter 14. He doesn't. "I'm going to start talking about spiritual gifts." What does Paul talk about to begin with? Church membership. In Corinth, there were many who felt that they didn't belong because they didn't have a particular gift. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, "If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body." We'll get to that next time, Lord willing. But already there you see someone saying, "Well, I'm not a hand, therefore I don't belong." You could, you know, replace that with, "Well, I don't speak in tongues, therefore I don't belong." That's the issue in these three chapters. Who belonged? And who were special amongst the brethren? That was the burning issue in Corinth. So let's have a look at this. What is it that Paul starts with? What's so important for them to understand before they even start talking about spiritual gifts? It's the question, or the answer to the question, what makes anyone belong to the church, the body of Christ? That's what Paul takes up. What makes you belong? you were to ask people today in the church, they might come with all sorts of reasons. You belong because, well, you've been baptized. Doesn't matter what tradition, whether you believe in adult baptism or infant baptism. Whatever the tradition is, a lot of people mark that as the sign of belonging. Others will say it's that public profession of faith, being able to give your testimony. That marks you as belonging. Some people would say it has to do with what brand of religion you belong to. You know, what denomination. You know, you belong if you're a Baptist, or you belong if you're Reformed. You know how churches can get so tunnel vision. What is it that makes us belong to the body? Well, it's really interesting when you go to 1 John chapter 2, it sheds some very interesting light on this question of belonging. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, a particular problem was being addressed. You know, the problem of people who appeared as though they belong and then left the church. I remember young people in some of my catechism classes over the years saying to me, particularly with regard to fairly prominent people in the church who fell away entirely from the Lord, committed adultery, began to live very wild lives, and even died in that state. And they say, well, why should I make profession of faith? I don't know whether I might end up the same way and I'll be a hypocrite. And so this is justification of not being baptized or making profession of faith. Listen to what it says here in 1 John 2, 18 to 19. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So what the Spirit is saying through John here is that the fact when people fall away entirely from the Lord, it may have appeared to us that they belonged. But their falling away entirely from the Lord and never coming back again and shows that they never belonged in the first place. And so we start to see that belonging has to do with not just the church membership, technical membership, but that relationship with Jesus that we heard all about in the Genesis series. In 1 John 2, 22, in the same passage, goes on to say, who's the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. You see, that was the problem that was being faced by the church, the people to whom John wrote. There were those who were denying that Jesus was the Christ, even within the church. And eventually, some of these people left. And the church was saying, well, what's going on? You know, these people belonged. And John says, well, they didn't actually. Now, they have denied that Jesus is the Christ, the only one that God's provided for our sins to be forgiven, the only one who's made the perfect sacrifice. They've denied that, and in their going, they've shown that they never belonged in the first place. And it's the old problem, isn't it? We only see the externals. It's God who sees the heart. In 1 John 2, 20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Now, see, here's the difference. What John is implying is that those who went away, those who fell away, those who denied that Jesus is the Christ, were missing something. Something that those of his readers had. Their readers had an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's that anointing that caused them to belong and to know the truth and to hold on to the truth. They didn't leave. But the others did. Now, this is an essential point, this anointing of the Holy Spirit, not an anointing to be able to speak in tongues, the so-called second spirit blessing or baptism, but an anointing of the Holy Spirit to know the truth, to recognize Jesus for who he is and to accept him as the Christ. It's that which causes us to belong to the body of Christ. That and nothing else. We belong. When God, in His tender grace and mercy, gives us the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know Ephesians 2, right? Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Faith, not of ourselves. Faith, the gift of God, so that no one can boast. Where does that faith come from? It's a gift. It comes from outside of ourselves. It's God-given. And He gives it through His Spirit. You've heard me say it to you before. If there's someone that you long to come to Christ, especially within your families, the answer is not more Bible bashing. The answer is not cajoling them. The answer is more prayer. Pleading with God to grant them the gift of the Spirit. Only He can take away the spiritual blindness. It's by the Spirit of God alone that we are brought into the kingdom of God. In John 3, that's John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, it says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. You know, we've got that term being flashed around through the church. Are you a born-again Christian? In a lot of circles, it's really asking, can you speak in tongues? Have you received the second blessing of the Holy Spirit, the second baptism of the Holy Spirit? Whenever anyone asks me that question, especially when I know they're from that tradition of the church, I say, yes, I'm born again. Sometimes people have said, oh, so you speak in tongues. And I say, no. And they ask me, I have been asked, well, how can you be born again? And I said, because the Holy Spirit's come into my life and I have a relationship with Jesus. Because that's what this passage is talking about. Being born again is only referred to in Scripture as that blessing of faith given through the work of the Holy Spirit. So you and I, with our children, we can only pass on flesh, and that's corrupt flesh at that, sinful flesh. You and I cannot pass on our faith. Flesh gives birth to flesh. It's the Spirit who gives birth to Spirit. It's only the Spirit who can make us belong. And so it says in our first reading in Romans 8, 15, 16, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. By Him, note this, by Him we cry, Abba, Father. It's by the Spirit we recognize God as our Father in Christ. By Him we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I don't need anyone else to tell me I belong. The Spirit testifies to me that I belong. If we understand this, we belong if we receive this gift of faith through the Spirit. Then it explains to us that no matter where we are in the world, you know, I can go to a church, I've done that, especially when I've gone to synods of the Reformed churches in South Africa, and everything's in Afrikaans. Can't understand a word. Okay? There's certain parts that are translated. I wear a headset for a week, and I listen to translations of all the speeches that are being made, but they don't translate the singing. They don't translate the scripture readings. But I tell you what, even though I can't understand a word, and sometimes I don't even know the tune of the song, yet I know I belong. I know that real worship is taking place, and I know who they're worshiping. We belong also regardless of whether we feel we do. Now, here's an important point. It's at times in a congregation's life, we may, for whatever reason, it may be self-imposed or it might be imposed upon us, we may feel as though we don't belong. Well, guess what? It's a feeling, but it's not reality. You know, that feeling at times that, well, God's not there for us, and we're going through a hard time, we think that God's deserted us. Guess what? It's just a feeling. God never forsakes or leaves his people. And so it is, when we feel we don't belong, for whatever reason, it's not that we don't belong. We do belong, if indeed the Spirit resides in us. We belong to God's church wherever it meets, wherever in the world, regardless of the language, regardless of the culture, regardless of the worship customs, regardless of the style of music. Wherever we go in the world, wherever the church is meeting together, and we go there, we belong, even though we may not feel it. Because belonging isn't about external things. It's about a relationship. A relationship with the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus and me. It's not about the songs. It's not about the language. It's not about the people. It's about Jesus and me. That's what Paul wants us to understand, and God through Paul. Jesus has made this awesome sacrifice for his bride, the church. And by his Spirit, he makes us a member of that body. When he says that he loves his church, when he says that he's laid down his life for his church, he's not talking about just other people. He's also talking about you and I, if indeed we have the Spirit and we believe. To be a member of the body of Christ is an incredible thing. It means that I can call God my Father. And he has loved me with this incredible love that not only says he sent his son to die for me, but through his son, he's coming back and he's going to take me home. And he's not going to be happy until he's got me home again. I wouldn't want to belong to any other institution, any other body than this one. But belonging by the Spirit, I'm also made a body part. We're going to go into a lot more detail about that next time. But for now, in verse 7 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now what this is saying is, not only are we made members by a faith that's given to us through the Spirit in Jesus Christ, but this Spirit is manifested. It becomes demonstrated outwardly in our lives. And this isn't for ourselves. Guess what? The Spirit reveals himself in us and reveals that we belong. But he does that for the common good. My membership is not to be exercised for me. I shouldn't be coming to worship so that I can feel good and I can go out with a hop in my step. Sometimes God confronts us with our sin and we go out and we feel contrite, which is a good thing at times. Sometimes he lifts us up and we go out rejoicing. But this is the reality. The Holy Spirit is manifested in each one of us, but not for ourselves, it's for the good of everybody else that are gathered with us. See, in the worship wars that a lot of congregations have passed through, some are still going through, guess what? It's people that are the most important. It's about themselves. When in fact it should be first and foremost about my fellow members. And ultimately, most importantly, it's about God, that he be glorified. Remember what Jesus says through Paul in Philippians. Have the same attitude that you find in Christ Jesus. You know, he humbled himself, became a man, even to the point of death on the cross, he humbled himself. And it tells us that we should be the same as him. We should not consider our interests more important than other people's interests. We should consider other people better than ourselves. And if we do that, we're following Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. if we're really members of the body, there's a job for us to do in the church, in the local expression of the church. And guess what? It's a job that only we can do, like ourselves. And you may have three singers up there, you may have two or three different musicians playing, but I can tell you, each one brings to that particular gift something unique. Each one will play that instrument only as they play it. No one can play the instrument identically the same as someone else. Each one brings something to it themselves. And so as we are given by God to the church for the common good, it's only one person that can do it like us. And that's ourselves. We just need to be ourselves in Christ, unique, bringing something special to the worship of God's people. And for that, we all have different gifts. This will go, as we'll see soon, against the whole teaching that everyone has to speak in tongues, because this is what Paul's beginning to speak against. Everyone has different gifts, and the Holy Spirit is central to all of it. Take a look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just summarize it for you. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, and we can say by the Spirit, because that's what it's been saying all along, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. But note it says, to another. Not everyone has all the gifts, and not everyone has the same gift. Just like a body, we need the diversity of gifts. And none is more important than the other. And so here we are. By the Spirit, we belong to Christ. And belonging to Jesus, we are all Spirit gifted. And we have our very own special place in His body, the church. As it says in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. I'd love to be able to sing. Florence will tell you, and people who've listened to complete worship services on tape from the Perth Church who are in hospital will tell you that when they listened to those tapes and they didn't turn down my mic when they came to the singing, they got sicker. I can't sing for nuts. It's atrocious. I try and sing and the kids tell me, Dad, please stop. I would love to have the gift of singing. But the Spirit hasn't determined to give me that gift and I won't have it. It's the Spirit who determines what gift we have, what gift He wants to contribute to the church through us. It's not us. And therefore we should rejoice in the gifts that we realize He's given to us and use these again, not for ourselves, but for the good of the church, to the praise and the glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we give You thanks for this wisdom from Your word this morning. That when we deal with issues in the church, and in Corinth it was about belonging, and in these particular chapters about belonging and the use of spiritual gifts, we thank You, Father, that You have shown us the wisdom that it begins with You and our relationship with You. It begins with that wonderful bride, the body, the church, that You have made us a part of, and that not for ourselves, but for the common good. Forgive us, Lord, when we get it all wrong, when we like to begin at the wrong end of the debate, when we want to take up the whole issue about tongues and whether or not they still exist and what place they should have, whether in private or in public worship and all that sort of thing. And we forget, Father, that it's all about the gospel. It's all about the good news about what we have in Jesus Christ and how we've been included in his body, the church, and how he wants to use us that other people may be built up in their faith. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we begin to look at all of this, we do so in the context of this good news. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll take away anything that's sinful within us, even that we've already discovered this morning, especially the sin of pride and arrogance, the sin of neglect with regard to leaving people who are visitors, or even those not belonging to bigger clans of the church, very much to themselves. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be an inclusive congregation, a congregation that welcomes every member, recognizing, Father, that in faith they belong to you and to us, that we can rejoice in them, not only what they can contribute in the life of the church as it meets on Sunday, but also what they can contribute to our own lives at home. And so, Father, we pray that as we continue through this series, it's you that we will draw closer to, and as we do that, that we'll draw closer to each other. And then when issues arise, that we may deal with them in a gospel way, a way that glorifies you. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.